This is the Uncle Talk Show. You're listening to Mr. Mad Design and Beat. The Uncle Talk Show.
Real talk.
Don't let the deter you from your vision. It's your vision that you want.
This is the Unconcealed Talk Show.
You ready?
No, I got it.
You know what? People like realness. They can speak through when anybody is not being themselves.
The Unconcealed Talk Show.
Use your platform wisely because it's going to be a reflection of who you are and those around you.
Y'all know this. It's unapologetic. I can only speak from my own experience. I can't speak from anybody else's.
This is the Unconcealed Talk Show.
They're going to remember how you came in and how you left. A lot of times that applies to regular life and business.
The Unconcealed Talk Show.
From a real life perspective. And don't just be you. And either people won't like it or they won't. And even the people that don't like it are still going to check it out. Because I'm telling you, after people that follow me, they don't really like my ass. But that's okay. Keep following with me. You know?
I'm right here.
You're listening to one of New York's top syndicated shows, The Unconcealed Talk Show, featuring Mr. Mass and Diamond D.
It's been a
I think that is an answer to that myth, and it is that time is neutral. It can be used either constructively or destructively, and I'm absolutely convinced that the forces of ill will in our nation, the extreme rightists in our nation, have often used time much more effectively than the forces of goodwill. It may well be that we will have to repent in this generation, not merely for the vitriolic words of the bad people and the violent actions of the bad people, but for the appalling silence and indifference of the good people who sit around and say, wait on time. Somewhere we must come to see that social progress never rolls in on the wheels of inevitability. It comes through the tireless efforts and the persistent work of dedicated individuals. And without this hard work, time itself becomes an ally of the primitive forces of social stagnation. And so we must help time, and we must realize that the time is always right to do right.
Yes, yes. We had to kick off this show. A change is going to come. Once again, for those listening, welcome to the Unconcealed Talk Show. You are truly Mr. Nass and the one and only Miss Diamond D. And of course, we got to salute the happy birthday to Martin Luther King. That we had to kick the show off like that.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening.
Evening.
How are you?
Yes.
I'm excited to be back with you once again. Oh, therapy time. therapy time.
This is what it's
been reduced to therapy. Oh my goodness.
Oh,
yes.
Man.
Today we're honoring Dr. Martin Luther King.
King.
And listening to that excerpt from the speech that was played during the intro, he could have recorded that yesterday, and it still holds true.
Yes.
Have we made any progress?
You know what? You're right. He could have took that same speech, slid it right on up from 1967 when he did it at Stanford University. He could have applied it to today. Real talk. It could have applied easily to today. I mean, and again, I mean, have we made progress? No.
54, that speech is 54 years old. I had to calculate it, y'all.
Wow.
It was like, wait, 1967.
Well, you go ahead with your math up there. Math.
I had to do the numbers. 54 years later, and that speech is still relevant. and to some degree, even more. He led the fight for public consciousness of racism and to end racial discrimination and segregation, right? So that was what he was about. That's what that whole movement was about. But I don't know if we even move. Some would argue that we're not segregated anymore. You a lie. The segregation still exists 100%. Okay?
Absolutely.
So what? So last week I was accused by my co-host, Mr. Naz, of not coming strong enough outdated. Right? He was like, I didn't catch your fire until later on in the show. So I'm giving you all that heat today. I'm making you think right out the gate today.
Oh, God.
So pardon me if I've overstepped my boundaries, but that's where it's at. That's where it's at on this day,
man.
2021. We have not progressed, people. We have got to do more. We've got to hold these folks accountable. That's where we're going today. We're talking about accountability. How you doing? How you doing? I'm sorry. I'm right in. Because I'm mad. I'm mad.
But you know what? I love the energy. I love the passion because, you know, you could tell when a person talks, just any individual, when they come from a place of just passion and they just go in, it's kind of, I call it the zone. And that's what you kind of alluded to. As soon as the show came in, you started going in, and that's because it's passion to you. You know, holding people accountable, understanding where we at, and like you said, this is a form of therapy. Those who listen to the show, those who follow us, if it's therapy and it helps you, so be it. If the shoe don't fit, kick the fuck on. Real talk.
Kick
I'm
off.
Just saying.
No, but
I'm honest.
Go ahead, man. Right, and unapologetic.
No.
Before we start, our thoughts, views, and opinions are just that, our thoughts, views, and opinions. And you're free to have yours, to agree or disagree, but just listen. Just check us out. Hear us out. We're not asking that you agree. Hell, we don't even agree on every topic. We definitely don't. And when y'all start to hear us talk about relationships later on, we got more important issues at hand now, but we got some lighter topics that we'll talk about later on. And we definitely don't agree on everything, and we're not asking that you all agree with everything we say too. But check us out, have some fun, and definitely go on to social media and follow the pages Unconcealed Talk Show on Facebook, Instagram, and I'm not sure if you started that Twitter page or not. I don't tweet. I'm not a tweeter.
No, we have a Twitter page with Shadow Worlds, but I didn't start the Unconcealed page. And I, you know, that's something we can talk behind the scenes. In fact, salute, of course, to Rebirth Public Relations and Media, our team out there in Louisiana, and our team in Texas. So we salute them for supporting us and promoting us. So much love to them.
Much love and appreciation. Totally appreciate it. Yeah, Simone goes hard. Love you, Simone, so much. And I was hoping that this year would be the year. Yes. Down south, the southern and the Midwest, and, you know, just really appreciate you all. I love my East Coast family, but y'all a little too comfortable with us. Y'all don't pay us no mind. So we love and appreciate you. I'm sorry.
Damn.
We still love and appreciate you. We really, really do. Every single person that takes a little bit of time out of their day, their schedule, if you're riding in a car, whatever you're doing, just to listen to us, we definitely appreciate you. We got a lot
Absolutely.
Of talk to talk
Absolutely.
About, so you want to get right into
in.
It?
Well,
all right. So
again,
what are we talking about?
In. Again, this is the Unconcealed Talk Show, and today's topic is accountability and ownership. And with that being said, I'm going to, of course, extend it to Ms. Diamond D, and she's going to, you know, kick off this topic, and we're going to have fun with it, and that's what a dialogue is about, having a real dialogue. When you're able to just not just ramble about stuff, you have dialogue that's informative, and it's something you can get from it. Because if you have a conversation with somebody or something, and you're having some water cooler talk, if you get nothing from the conversation, whether you learn something or even learn something about that person, like this guy's a fucking idiot or this chick is a deadhead. Huh. I mean, you got to get trouble from it. I mean, and we try our best. No, we do our best. Let me make a correction. We do our best to make sure we're informative. We make sure we have fun because this is an adult conversation. And it's just something that you kind of want to take with you, even when you have a conversation with your friends, your family. That's what we provide. It's a platform. And we're trying to use our platform responsibly and have fun with it. Because we're trying to show you, look, this is what life is all about. Have a platform. Use that platform. But getting to an accountability, Ms. Diamond D, where are we at?
So accountability. All right. So what is accountability? And I, you know, real deep, I looked up the definition, right? And I again, if you know me, I don't like to just put out my opinion. I try to put out facts. Not saying this is deep research. I'm just giving you the definition and some backup for the things that we're going to discuss. So accountability is the quality or state of being accountable, right? Being held responsible, willingness to accept responsibility for one's actions, right? So accepting responsibility, it can be personal, it can be public, it can be government. So accountability transcends across every aspect of our lives. And it's ironic because we saw, and we're in the middle of a national crisis right now where we need Trump to be held accountable for inciting the riot, right? Inciting the insurrection at the state capitol. He needs to be held accountable. Then across that, I have a leadership position in my 9-to-5, and I found this week, very coincidental, that I have one employee that just deflects attention from everything that they do. Anything that they do wrong, they deflect attention from it. It's, you give me the answer on how you fixed it, but how did it get messed up? Where's your accountability? Mm-hmm. And it was just so ironic. And I said, if you do not take accountability for your errors, then you will never have the opportunity to grow. Because unless you realize that you've done something wrong, you are not open to fixing it, right? And then accountability goes into our relationships. You are accountable for how you treat your partner. In part, you need to hold your partner accountable for how they treat you. So one might say that you're responsible, you're accountable for how others treat you. So it goes two ways in a relationship. But I kind of want to focus a little bit, and stop me because, you know, I can go on and on a little bit.
No. I mean, I'm loving the vibe. I'm loving it. Continue on, please.
Yeah, not getting reprimanded this week. So with Trump, we've got, God bless America, we have less than 4 days left with this man in office. However, he needs to be held accountable for a whole lot that he's done.
Absolutely.
While he's held this office. A whole lot. But more, the most important thing, he needs to be held accountable for inciting and leading their attempt to attack. There was no attempt. There was no attempt. They did
attack
the state capitol. And it was kicked off by him. And he's not holding accountability. He's not accepting his responsibility. So now we're talking, he's been, again, second time, first president in the history of the United States to be impeached twice. So one might ask, what good is it going to do? Because he's going to be out of office in 4 days anyway. What good is it going to do? But there's certain benefits that a president holds, receives, I should say, after leaving office. So we need to make sure that he is impeached, which he has been, but that it goes all the way through so that he loses those benefits that he would receive. Now, it would probably not do much to him, to his ego, but it's going to impact the Republican Party. I hope that they also need to be held responsible because they allow not just for Trump, knowing his history, knowing his character, knowing his credentials, and how much of a crook and negative, and they knew all of this about him, not just let him get into the office. The Republican Party let him represent them. It didn't even have to go that far. He didn't have to even get to be their candidate, right? So they need to be held responsible. But first, Trump needs to be held responsible for his actions. Initially after the state capitol riots, Nas, he didn't even take responsibility, right? He still hasn't taken responsibility.
No, not at all. Exactly.
Did you know he was like, they are wonderful people?
Yeah, and you know what kills me about that whole thing? It just kills me. The Republican Party is saying, you know, they shouldn't proceed with the impeachment process or the impeachment because it's going
to
divide the company. I mean, divide the country. You know,
the country's already divided.
Exactly. You know, and you know, it's like, you know, I'm going to beat you up. For years, you know, oppressed our black people, oppressed, not help people. We're in the middle of a global pandemic. Oh, it's going to further divide the country. The country's already been divided. It's part of the plan. Exactly. He must be held accountable. Those must be held accountable. Because at the end of the day, the government's set up in the three bicameral system, whereas you have the legislative and, you know, the executive government, which is the White House. Basically, one branch of the government attacked another one to overthrow because we don't like what you did. We don't like what you said. That's when I look at it, from my understanding, that's treason. That's treason.
Right.
And to compare that to Black Lives Matter, it's horrendous. We're talking about innocent black people being shot down over. I mean, it just disgusts me that you have these Trump supporters supporting what he's done. And I ask, you know, I have a couple of Trump supporters that I'm familiar with. That's what he's done. What he's done this for the country. How is it? He inherited a growing economic system from the prior president, which is President Obama. He inherited that. That's what happened. Now he's leaving the house messed up. You know, he came into the house. Well, the house is nice and clean. He tore up the house, and then he's leaving the house in shambles. I mean, it's just disgusting. And at some point, we can't just turn the other cheek. We can't ignore it. You know, what happened is horrendous. And right now, you have thousands of troops in the D.C. area. I mean, it's 20, crazy. 000, they got Bob Walker. Exactly. And what,
you know what's scary?
Wires? It's crazy.
You know what's scary? Of the troops that are there, when I was watching it on the news and the preparation and all the troops that are there, just like many of those that were part of the riot, some of those troops that are there believe in Trump. They believe in what happened with the riot. So, like, will it get so bad that they will turn fire on each other? How do you vet who you can really trust at this point to protect the country? How do you vet that? You know, I'm just looking at the fact that there could be just one of those troops that are sent there to protect may just turn and wall out and turn on their troops, turn on their colleagues for the sake of Donald Trump. It's like a cult. It's very scary. And I'm sitting here, if you have not watched any of the videos, just Google it and look, Google videos. And I had chills. There's officers that they try to kill people. Don't think this was just people running into a building. They were chanting, "Hang Mike Pence." They tried to squeeze an officer to death between two doors.
Oh, my God. That,
It's chilling. And it's not
core.
A black or white thing.
Exactly. That hurt me to my core. When I seen that young man being, I mean, literally, like, pressed in between those doors with the thousands of people. And when he talked about it, it just, like yourself, it just sent chills down my spine. Just to know that the same people carrying these flags, Blue Lives Matter, You know, we're the Republican Party. We're about justice. It's not about that. See, and people need to understand. You know, okay, the Trump supporter. Let's really look at what it really is. It's a movement about racism. It's you know, what you want to keep the country divided. That's really what this is all about. He may have pulled the curtain back. It was always there. And what happened is people's like, oh, this is comfortable. I can. It's okay for me to not like this person because of the color of their skin or the religion they are. It's okay for me to do it. That's what he's saying. That's what he's about. Mm-hmm. And it's so many Americans that's about that. And shame on. And you know, I want to curse about it, but I'm pointing at, and I'm basically calling out all our people of color that support Trump. I'm pointing to you. I'm disgusted in who you are. You can kick rocks, jump off a goddamn bridge. I can care less about you. Because what it stands for is bullshit. I can't get behind that. I've already cut people off already, you know, on my social media. Look, if you're supporting that, then you're disillusioned. You're not being accountable. You know, you're seeing our people being shot down. You're seeing us being oppressed. You know, it didn't happen to me. You know, wake up, fool. We talked about this last week. At some point, it's going to come to your door. So, I mean,
I'm totally
with you on that. But I'm just done. I'm done with our black people throwing Trump shit. Black Trump. Trump.
It's mind-boggling how that's even such a movement, or there are a group of people that do support him. And most of those people, they look at him. I mean, I've heard people say things like he's a financial genius. No, he's a genius at being a crook. You know, you've never seen someone who has filed bankruptcy so many times, right? Now he's not paying his homie, Giuliani, right? Giuliani has led a lot of this mess. He's been in Trump. Yo, my dog, come on, you know, we could rip him off, do this, you know. And that's how I imagine they talk to each other, right? Like, oh, come on, homie. So now they are, Trump has said, I'm not paying you. You know what? This didn't go out. This didn't turn out in the direction that we talked about. So you know what, Booty? F you, and I'm not paying you. You know, he's
but
such
yo,
a...
Yo, that money he was getting was crazy. You know the Donnie, you know the money he was getting per day?
Listen.
20 G's.
This didn't go right per day. That's why Giuliani was sweating that dying guy down his face. It wasn't, right? It was dead ass much, but he was sweating. Yep. 20 G's. I mean, it's just, you know, it's amazing how, again, going back to the speech that Martin Luther King gave, he gave many, and the one we played at the top of the show, 54 years ago, and we're talking about holding people accountable. We're talking about justice and inequality, and we haven't progressed enough. And I think as we were progressing, right, this man has taken us back 50 years. As far as we've come, he's taken us back. And we know that racism will never go away. We know that however, he's gave these people, he's made them feel empowered, that it's okay.
Yes.
To be,
keyword,
and that's the difference.
Keyword.
They don't feel like they have to hide anymore. They didn't even wear sheets. They didn't hide their faces. The KKK used to hide their faces. They don't feel like they need to hide anymore. This is who we are. And this is what we're about. And we're going to take over. They were going into the Capitol to kill people.
Yes.
And big, big shout out to Eugene, my cousin. My cousin Eugene. Y'all like, who is Eugene? Eugene Goodman.
Yeah, that's my cousin.
So Eugene Goodman is my cousin. Not really, but there's a video of the black officer in the Capitol, and there was a mob
that's
of people
right.
chasing him.
That's right.
So my cousin Eugene, like black people always do, saved the day.
I love it.
He knew that if they had gotten to the chambers where the congressmen were, that it would have gotten worse. And he led them solely alone. You watch the video, Google Eugene Goodman, and he looks to the left, and he talks on the radio, and he pushes the leader of that mob back a little bit to entice him to chase me this way, and he led them away from where they would have been able to kill the leaders
Excellent.
Of our country. So round
Excellent.
Of applause.
That's what I'm talking about. And I'm so glad you brought him up. I'm so glad you brought it. I mean, that was extremely heroic. And he was calm. He was still controlled in the situation. And that's what we have to respect about all those law enforcement that was out there putting their life on the line. And those people that still went back into that on the Senate floor, and he still voted against the vote. What do you say to those people, those that were out there, fighting their ass off to defend their lives? Your lives don't matter.
Your lives
you can
don't
care
matter.
Less about them. And then, and salute, of course, to the Metropolitan Police that came in and kicked butt. But when they came in, when that mayor said at 6 o'clock, when you look at the video, they came in like, listen, we're not having it. They came in and they provided support, and people said, well, why did they come on the grounds of the federal ground? They can't, because they deal with a municipality on the municipality level, and the Capitol Police controls the federal grounds. So they can't come in unless they're basically almost invited in. And they allowed the FBI and Secret Service to do their job, and they took care of the outer parts of the government facility. But again, I salute all the officers, all the officers that put in work. I salute everybody that put their lives on the line to try to defend our democracy. I salute them.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
Definitely that.
Mm. You know, and big ups to the ex-wives that were turning into husbands. I was like, yes, girl. I was looking like, let me see that one. Like, he wanted, the wives were turning into husbands. Like, that's right there. Yup. Yep.
Damn.
That's Peter. Go and get him. That's Peter. They were turning into husbands. So big up to the wives for doing it.
Hold on.
What?
I'm sorry. I felt like, if I was Peter, I'm like, this bitch over here.
Yeah. Yeah.
You jump off a bridge. That's like, what
yeah. Yeah, should have been
what
nice.
About the young lady?
Did you treat her like crap?
What about the young lady who turned in her mother? I found a backstory to that. The mother was a mother kicked her out. She doesn't live with her mother no longer. They got into it because the daughter was a supporter of the Black Lives Matter movement,
mm-hmm.
and she's going to protests. And the mother's like, oh no, you're embarrassing the family. And the daughter's like, basically seeing her mother up there like, oh, look at this hypocritical bitch. I'm telling.
Trauma bitch.
You're showing no.
I'm telling. I'm telling. Ned, you know you my people. I love you to death. You my brother. I would have turned you in too. Turning you in. Mm-hmm. Don't do no crimes. Listen, don't do stupid crimes and know me. Like, if you're doing a crime to protect your family or something like that, I understand. But if listen, they have a reward for turning somebody that I know and I'm putting it out there in the house. If you did something stupid, look, Tom Hart, let me see you. Is America's most wanted still a thing? I'm turning everybody in. Don't do nothing stupid. Unless you were protecting your life, turning you in. You will be held accountable for your actions.
Let's do the numbers now.
What?
So you get about 10 people you identify. I think it was $1,000 each arrest.
Mm-hmm. I'm good. Shopping
so
it's
about
10,
what? 10 G's.
I'm going, and I ain't even using that towards bills. You know, people, I'm going to be responsible now. I'm going on a shopping spree right quick. Mm-hmm. I need new dining room set real quick.
Let's think about that seriously. You have a family member. Let's have this honest conversation. You see a family member. Okay,
go ahead.
All right, point blank. We both have kids, grown kids. We see our grown
mm-hmm.
kids acting a fool on TV. Are we calling them
mm-hmm.
first or are we turning them in first? Which one? Or are we doing both?
I raised you better than that, motherfucker. I'm turning you in. I did not raise you that way. Accountability starts very, very early. And I raised mine properly. So therefore, if I see you on TV and you doing something, I'm turning you in. I'm turning you in immediately.
Okay, say,
don't do what I raised you.
On the TV. Say you don't see him on TV, but you see, you know that he was involved with a crime. What are you going to do?
Well, are they protecting
you know
their
about
kids?
The Will Smith thing? Well, I mean, let's say your kids are not here. I mean, yeah, are you turning your kid in? Did rob the bank.
Yeah,
they
doing something.
You know they robbed the bank.
Yeah.
What?
Because
hold on, hold on, what happened to protect my child? Thank God for my child. What happened to that?
Because I've raised you better than that. And a teaching accountability, first of all, I taught you to survive. I've raised you to follow the rules, okay? I've raised you to be an upstanding citizen. So I taught you accountability early in life. Therefore, you know better, okay? When you went into the kitchen and you stole the cookie and I tapped that ass, I was teaching you responsibility that tells you you don't then go rob a bank. You start early. See, Trump's parents didn't start early. If they had started early, he wouldn't have done half the things that he's done throughout life. There's no accountability. So to answer your question, yes, I've identified early on responsibilities and you follow through with them. Okay, accountability. I taught you this, and I'm turning you in. Don't try to bribe me, because I'm going to take your money, tell them you ain't give me nothing, because we're not going to leave a trail, and I'm still going to turn you in. I'm turning you in. I'm turning you in. Unless you were trying to save your life or your child's life or mine, I'm turning you in, because
now,
I have... What? You not?
So all right,
you
listen.
Not?
No, listen. All right, I get you. I'm with you on that. I guess under those premises, we're not getting no Mother's Day or Father's Day cards, huh? What do you think?
No, I raised you right, so.
They like they sit in jail cursing you. I was like, yo, my mom snitched on me. My dad, he snitched on me. Damn. Look, I mean, I get it. I mean, it's a hard decision, and that's a part of just being a parent. You know, I know a lot of times, and I'm speaking from experience, and those parents also relate, there's times in our lives we got to hold our kids accountable. We may not like it, and that, you know, we have to get away from trying to be their friend all the damn time. There's a time you can have a friendship with your child, but if we don't hold them accountable, we're not being parents. We're not being parents. Just... it is what it is, and you know, just that, you know, because we talk about the parents and we're talking about the kids, and as the father, there's things that I didn't want to do, but at the end of the day, I got to hold my kids accountable, because they have to see what they're doing. They have to understand there's a consequence to every choice that they make in life. They got to understand, and they got to understand, hey, listen, I got to man up, or I have to woman up, or whatever, if there is such a term. And stop blaming people. Stop blaming everybody else for your bullshit or your failure. Stop it. You know, if you're doing what you're supposed to do as a parent, and of course, there's no book in this game. There's no book in being a parent. You do the best that you can with the resources you have. If your child is ungrateful, you know what? If you don't like it, you're over 18. Get your ass out. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all.
You're right. If we don't hold these children accountable, and again, there's some methods that might not, where we've used, because like I said, tap that ass, but I don't believe in whoopings, okay? There's a difference. You're going to get your ass tapped, but I don't believe in the old school, go and get a switch out the backyard, right? We got to do better. But our grandparents and even some of our parents, that was their attempt to teach us accountability.
Oh my God, I
so
got
the
ass whooping.
We
I know
wouldn't.
Did you get it?
Did
you get
it?
The ass whooping?
So my daddy never beat me. My mom, I got it a little bit. I was the youngest girl. Not my dad. My dad never. But that doesn't mean
your mom got accountability.
Oh, my mom tapped that ass a lot. Too much, in fact. Right?
Yeah, my mom was
like,
my mom
okay because I learned from it.
My mother didn't know how to spank. She didn't know how to spank. She used to buckle. I was like, Mom, switch it around. I mean, come on. Have the target right, right there.
Right.
No. Not the buckle. Mama, no. Please stop.
You know what? My mom, I didn't get it as much as my brothers, but I got it. But I understand now the place she was coming
from.
To
your brother?
Right.
My brothers, they got it.
Yeah, my brother's got it, right? So, but I understand where she was coming from. She didn't want us to be out there wilding out. She was teaching us accountability in her own way, right? And because I believe because she was so stern, my dad was a little less stern, right? So just to give us some kind of balance. But he had his own ways of holding us accountable. So where you might think you about to skip your happy ass down to Six Flags for the weekend, and he'll let you believe it all the way up until the day. Like, nah, remember Monday? And you just sit there like,
wow.
Right? So there's different methods. But you learn. Accountability has got to start at home, and it has to be enforced. It can't just be threats. It can't be threats, right? Because if you threaten your child again and again and again and you never follow through, they're like, that's some BS, and then they're going to go out and wild out. And I've read a little bit, just to take it back to the government, take it back to Trump, I've read a little bit about his background, and there were two different methods when he was being raised. He was a millionaire basically as a kid, right? I want my money. We were laughing about that last night. Like, he was a millionaire 3-year-old slumlord. But
what?
His brother was raised with a set of different principles. His brother was raised with a different set of principles. I don't know what it is about Donald that his parents cherished or raised him, but he was not taught responsibility. And you have to be responsible in order to teach responsibility. So if you're telling your kid, just take it off of him and personally, you're telling your child, you need to get out there and work, but you're laying on the couch. Well, I'm not going to work. You're going to work. You should, you know, you want to do better than me, but I don't see you trying to do better. I don't see you doing anything to do better than you, right? So we've got.
See, you about to open some door now. It's a Pandora box. And yeah, I know there's a lot
that's
of
okay.
People
this is therapy.
A lot of people is like that. A lot. You know, what's the old cliche?
Do as I say.
Yeah, right, exactly. Do as I do. I think that's the most hypocritical, dumbest shit in the planet. And anyone that say that need to jump off a bridge. I'm using that reference today, bridge jumping. Because I'm so done with the self-centered and the selfish attitudes that many of our adults have when it's, you know, when it comes to being accountable. Well, I don't need to worry about that kid ain't mine. We all have a level of response, especially in the family. But even if you don't have kids, think about how you're carrying on. Think about the people that you're looking at and what you're doing. You know, you can't be sitting there barking or giving advice. advice to people if you, like, you talking to them about relationship advice. But you're not in a relationship. You've had failed relationship time after time after time after time, but yet you want to become a relationship guru. There's a certain person on radio who talks to give out relationship advice, but he was the main person who dogged his own wife out. But I'm going to leave that one alone. But I'm saying is, you know, you know what? I'm not messing with you. I'm trying to be sponsored.
I'm trying to get it too, but people like to tease. We said unapologetic, so I'm not apologizing,
no, you're right?
So
okay, no, you're right.
Maybe
you're right.
Maybe you want to come on and talk about it.
No, man. You're going to be like, you're going to be with that shit.
Maybe.
No, you're right. It's we have to be accountable for our actions. And we can't tell people to do something. We're not going to do it ourselves. We got to lead by better examples, having ownership in stuff that we do. We have to have ownership. And people just kill me with that, even on a business level. You know, you want to talk about being a good businessman. And we just talked about that person that's leaving the White House. Talk about, I'm a businessman. You know, I know what I'm doing. He's had failed business after failed business after failed business.
Right.
He's facing so many lawsuits. He's in millions mm-hmm. of dollars of debt. He's lost the social media platform, which was also driving his business. He's lost the corporation business. Banks has pulled out from him. Banks. I mean, damn.
Yeah.
The banks. The same people that he parlayed with, doing golf with, it's like, you know what? I ain't fucking with you today. So, salute to them.
But here, here lies the problem with them now holding Trump accountable. I'm going to go back to this, right? I'm using principles of accountability. And you can apply these principles anywhere. Principle number mm-hmm. two is to start early. Start early. So now that things have exploded, these banks, these business partners, his colleagues in politics, now they want to remove themselves. They want to disassociate, right? If they had held him accountable years before, we wouldn't be here today. Because accountability, again, throughout life, it applies in different ways. To go back to my experience at work this week, right? Yo, I need you to understand that you're accountable for a lot of these things. Yes, I came in and I fixed a lot. However, you need to know that now I got to work extra hours because you fucked up. I'm going to call it what it is. Now, with that being said, you need to help. You've got to learn. What don't you know? Do you see the consequences of the things that you fucked up? And when this person is still deflecting, but this, but that, but no, no, you're not taking accountability.
Oh,
I can't stand
oh
it.
But
this, but that, no. If you're, if you are not willing to sit here, and I'm telling you the errors of your ways, I'm telling you what you did to cause this and how you should have known better or what you should have known, and you still don't get it, you're refusing to take accountability, and now I have a problem because I can't coach you. I can't help you learn. I can't make you take responsibility, and we're not going to go anywhere. It's going to explode, and that's what happened with Trump. No one wants to associate with him now, but when he was doing the bullshit early on, as long as it was lining their pockets, selfishly lining their pockets, they didn't care about everything else. None of it mattered. Now that we have this treason, this act of treason, now they want to disassociate themselves, and it's too late.
But the money's now hitting them up. The money's hitting them up because, you know, what the banks and these corporations already said, and I quote, we're stopping our donations. People understand it. You know, politics is ran and controlled by special interest groups. And what happens is these special interest groups line the pockets of a lot of these senators and congressmen to help get certain things voted to push certain agendas and products into the American government or our economy. And now the level of accountability, the big minister says, you know what? He's bad business for us. He's hurting our business. So we're now going to hold you, you know, not saying you, Diamond, of course, but I'm talking about the senators, these people that are these special interest groups accountable. We're going to hit your pockets. So now that's where you're seeing, like you just said, the people pulling back away from Mr. Trump. Because they say, hold up, I'm not getting this extra couple million dollars, so I don't get these perks no more. That's what it all comes down to money. It is because he's hurting their bottom line. It's no, the word racism. They say, you know what? Listen, I mean, I get along with the blacks, but you're messing up my dollar. I mean, but that's the problem. And you know, they see that. So you know what? At the end of the day, we know black people spend money. We help drive trillions of dollars through our economy the way we spend. But that's a whole other show about level of responsibility and financial responsibility. We can talk about that in another show. But like you said, it's a level of accountability now being it's coming out. You've seen it happen in front of our eyes right now. Now, Mr. Trump, like you said, he was not held accountable from a young age to now. So now it's basically everything's coming back to haunt him. His worst fears is happening because he's facing criminal charges. He's facing so much. And it was, one analyst said on CNN, he's looking to possibly really be broke. I mean, dead broke. I mean, he's looking at that. You know, he's
but you know what's going to happen
criminal,
if he becomes, if he loses everything, I believe he'll just commit suicide. Seriously. So that remains to be seen. He's not, again, he's not capable of surviving. Things have never not gone his way. You understand what I'm saying? So with that, I think that he would just check out. That again, that remains to be seen. And but we have to hope that he is convicted and actually, you know, and out of here, that he's not cleared. We need him to be convicted of the items listed in the impeachment, because Donald gonna try to run again. And that's the only way to stop him from running again. I'm telling y'all, he's gonna try to run.
You know, I agree. It has to happen. We have to set the example, because it may not be another. It may not be Trump himself. It may not come back, but it could be another person like Trump. We have to set the precedent.
Correct.
We as a nation, we have to set. You know what? This cannot happen. It will not happen. And I personally think, you know, this is where. This is my two cents. This man has never served in the public. He's never is so much been a mentor in, you know, maybe in a community program. Why are we allowing people who's never had a history of helping the people as far as any
Leave
public service? Why are we allowing them to run for
no
office?
No military service.
Why?
No nothing.
Nothing.
Because it's about the bottom line. It was about the bottom line, and shame on us, but we turned it around, right? We did not. We took Trump, even myself at first, as a joke. I look back at when the memories come up on you didn't? I did. I was like,
No, I did.
I voted. Yeah. And we sat back.
Oh.
No, I ain't vote for Trump. I said we didn't.
Wait a minute. This show got us in right now.
Sorry if anybody thought I said that. What I was saying is that as a people, we didn't go out and vote, right? We didn't vote. For Hillary.
No, we didn't.
We didn't vote for Hillary. We were tired of the Clintons, and we took for granted, ain't nobody going to vote for Trump. That's what we thought. And here we are. But now, fast forward, we see or we saw what our lack of participation in the vote did. We got this fool in office, so we turned it around. So in 2020, turned it around. So a round of applause for our people for that.
That's right.
And understand that your vote does matter. And vote in those smaller elections as well, right? We have to maintain our voice. It has to continue to be heard. Yeah, listen, right, that runoff in Georgia, look at that.
It
makes a difference.
Yes, they did.
Y'all.
Georgia. We love y'all. Thank you. I mean, I love how you segue to black, as far as holding our black people accountable. It's amazing what we can do as a black community if we got together. If we really got together and stayed consistent with the voting and putting people in position, you got to understand, you know, look, we may not control everything, but if we get enough heads at the table, we can help ourselves. And that's what we have to do.
Yeah.
We got to put ourselves in position, get ourselves at the table so we can basically have the power to help our communities. But we have to be part of it. We got to be in there. We just can't blame somebody else or say, oh, they don't care about us. Well, what are you doing about it? Stop complaining about it. What are you doing about it? You know what I'm saying? Influence those friends. Influence those guys on the block. You know, you see a couple of these young men out here. Listen, man, are you voting? Nah, why should I vote? It don't mean nothing. Yes, it does, man. I mean, damn. Look, it does. It does. So
it's
a level of accountability for ourselves. We got to.
We've got to be accountable. We can't be afraid to talk to our youth. We have to be involved. There's a level of accountability. And so I read, and I thought it true but funny. If we would just coordinate our efforts the way we coordinate our efforts when we're doing a line dance, right? So we could all just get the way we do when we're doing a cha-cha slide, right? You ever seen white people do the cha-cha slide versus black people do the cha-cha slide?
No, coordinated.
The effort is so coordinated, and that just speaks to our abilities to work together, to just slide on in and get right in line and get on point and ride it. We need to then take that same energy and collaboration and effort and do that as a people. And it doesn't have to be one big, massive coordination, but if we get enough little organizations and they interlink with another organization and so on and so forth, we're badass. We just have to
make a more
concerted effort.
Damn it, you're good. I'm going to tell you why. Because on my notes I'm looking at here, that's a perfect segue, you know, as we're about to introduce for next week, about coming together and just taking our parts, whether it be small groups and organizations. And what I want to do, Diamond, and, you know, I would like for Women by Women, some of you ladies to come online, and we could talk about Black Empowerment and work this network. And I want to also invite the League of Extraordinary Men. Two strong entities that they're excited already. They said, look, I'm down. And these brothers are ready to come online. And we already had the Four Women by Women on the show before last season, and it was a great dialogue. It was a great conversation. And I think that if we can show people and use this platform to say, hey, listen, we're going to show you two strong organizations with influential, empowering people from all, you know, black people coming together and showing how we could work better as a community. I think that would be powerful. I honest to God believe that would be really powerful.
So I'm actually, we're having a meeting today, actually, for Women Black, for Women by Women. And look up the F-O-U-R Women, for women by women. I said for women, black women, but it's for the number four, F-O-U-R, Women by Women. And that is our organization established to support women of color. And we're actually meeting today to discuss our efforts for 2021. Women's Month is coming up, and that's when we wanted to have our annual brunch. And, you know, we're being responsible. We're not asking anyone to gather in mass groups. So we're meeting today to discuss that, and I will also present to them the opportunity to come on here and to collaborate with you and the fellas. I'd love to do it. And I'm sure
that
they will as well.
I think
you
that
know,
would
we're,
be
we're
awesome.
All,
that would be awesome. I'm
we've got
you,
diverse
I'm
personalities.
About it now.
I think it'll be interesting and exciting. So I will definitely mention that to them during our meeting today. Yeah.
No, absolutely.
So.
And you know, it's you know what? Won't he do it? The perfect segue about being accountable and holding ourselves accountable it starts with us. Because, you know, I've seen the vision that you had with the organization, you know, your organization with these women, and the response was phenomenal. I mean, just to know you have so many women and fellas. Let me tell you something. It is a beautiful thing when you have a strong woman behind you. You know, me being a black man, when you have a strong black woman behind you, or black women, whether it's your mom, it's your wife, it's your girlfriend, or just women that support you. Let me tell you something. When black women has done so much for this country, has done so much for our history, and when you have black women come together, that's empowering, and they're about supporting one another, whether it be business and community, just as a woman or as a parent, it's just phenomenal. So I salute all our women, all our black women. I salute you. I really mean that.
And we appreciate that. And, you know, when we talk about women supporting women, that does not mean that we don't need the support of our men. We do. But we
have
also
to.
We need your support. So the For Women by Women organization is not to say we don't need no man. Don't ever misconstrue our mission. Our mission is to empower women enough so that we support one another and are able to accept the support of men, right? So there's levels to it, but we are definitely not a we don't need no man organization. No, we need y'all. We need your help. We need your support. We need y'all to tell y'all female friends about us, right? And come on in and get some of that love. Like, we just love on each other in this group. And
that's
what
right.
we've done over the past year, you know, we're more business focused, but because of the love that we've needed and the support, the emotional support that we've needed over the past year, we've kind of diverted our attention away so much from the financial and business aspect of it to more of the emotional and, you know, psychological, that part of it. But it's all support in all areas, and we're definitely driven to be effective in the community. That's just my shameless.
It's nothing to be shameless about, but it should be. But listen, as far as, you know, again, we have a platform here, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to push both organizations, because it's something that I see not just in Jersey, New York area. I can see your program extending further than my understanding. You already have some people that's out of state still supporting the program and a part of the program.
We've got so many people. From across the United States that participate. But what I want you to do is, because I've said for mm-hmm. women by women like 10 times in the past 30 seconds, what is the official name of your organization? People didn't catch that.
No, I got you. I mean, in fact, the brothers right now are giving out food at Elmwood Church. They're giving out bags of food. We do that twice a month. We give out food to hundreds of families. They come there. They come from all over Jersey and the New York area to come get food. The brothers are out there right now, literally as we speak. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen was started by Dorian, the Dorian Simmons, I believe this is his last name. You know, I'm going to say this real quick because we had to wrap it up. He wanted to create an outreach and a brotherhood, not just a mentoring program for boys, mm-hmm. At-risk boys, but he wanted to create a brotherhood, whereas we all support one another. We love on each other. Our mission right now is to buy a house for the program to help the community. We're doing a lot of things in the city of East Orange. We're doing a lot of things in the city of North, and we're getting a lot of support. We're about 25 guys, strong men. You know, we're not looking for big numbers. We're looking for like an elite four-set team. We work together, okay. And we help one another. We support each other's fathers. We support each other's husbands. We support each other, and we're trying to lead by example. So salute to all the brothers, and you know, they'll be real excited. They are ready.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to, you know, salute them, you know, so. We're getting to that time now.
But real quick, before we go, please, I know I talk too much. We are celebrating MLK Day. Most of us are off. Organizations are closed or we have taken off. Don't just stay in the bed, y'all. You might say, what can I do? It's a pandemic. I can't do anything. MLK Day is a day of service. It's not just a day off. Go through your closets. Find clothes that you can donate. Donate some food or go to a local nursing home. Do something. Wear your mask. Prepare a displacement kit. Drive down by your train station. Give somebody a hot meal. It does not have to be. Give somebody that person, panhandler that you drive by at the light every day and you don't normally give them anything, give them a dollar on Monday. Just do something to impact someone on Martin Luther King Day. Don't just take the day off for the purpose of, yes, we have a black holiday. Do something for somebody on that day.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, damn, is that your closing remark? I loved it.
That's my closing remark.
So. Well, again, you know, I love the energy. I love what we do. This is Unconcealed Talk Show. We're unapologetic, and we ask you not to be apologetic for your greatness. And, you know, my thing is be unapologetic whatever you do. Be great, embrace your faults, understand your vision. That's what I'm going to leave you guys off with, and I'm leaving you with every week, because at the end of the day, if you don't recognize who you are, how are you going to know where you're going? Period. That's it. That's all. You know, so again, we love you guys. Next week, we're going to be bringing on these awesome people. We're going to have a good time. So again, thank you guys. Love you. Peace. Diamond, we out.
Peace out, y'all. We out. See y'all next time.
Hamilton is one of New York's top syndicated shows, The Unconcealed Talk Show, featuring Mr. Nance and Diamond D.